Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And this episode is titled Stendhal Syndrome, Kicked in the Brain by Art. Which I should point out that I think a lot of people, first heard the term Stendhal Syndrome in reference to the Dario Argento Italian horror film by the same name, which I'm not recommending anybody see, because when it comes to Dario Argento's work, generally you're best just watching Suspiria, maybe, and then calling it a day. Because it's just kind of similar patterns from there on out. But Stendhal Syndrome, the movie, is a movie about, like most of his films, about a killer who likes to kill women. And the woman in the scenario is played by Dario Argento's daughter, Asia Argento. And there's like one interesting scene where she stares into a painting, gets dizzy, falls, and feels herself falling through the painting into the water, and then she makes out with an animatronic fish.
Which sounds about right.
Yeah, which is a pretty great scene, because it's such an animatronic fish, you know? Like, if you saw it in the water, even if you weren't making out with it, you would be like, that's totally not a real fish. That's animatronic. But it's one of the best cross-species, make-out scenes in Italian cinema.
You know, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the woman who actually named the syndrome Stendhal Syndrome has commented on that film before and said that some of the ways in which she reacted to this painting that she's looking at is actually pretty faithful to the syndrome.
Well, there you go. The one scene in the movie that's interesting is actually maybe not that far removed from what we're going to talk about today.
But now I'm starting to think about a bunch of tourists in Florence, Italy, like thinking that they're making out with fishes.
Yeah, or asking, which painting do I stare at to make me make out with a fish?
Yeah.
The syndrome is, of course, named for the author, Stendhal, what was his real name?
Henri-Marie Bayle, I believe.
Yeah, died 1842, and wrote the classic novel Scarlet and Black, which I really don't remember much about at all now, but I know I read it in college, and I was really impressed at how good it actually was, because a lot of times you end up reading, like, 19th century literature, you know, translated French novel, your expectations are not necessarily that high. But I remember it being a very engaging book, just maybe not all that memorable now. But when Stendhal wasn't writing books, he was traveling.
Right.
And writing about those travels. And when he was writing about his visit to Florence, he mentioned having this episode, mm-hmm. really, while staring at a particular painting. He described fierce palpitations of the heart, this feeling that the wellspring of life has dried up inside him, mm-hmm. and he walked in fear of falling to the ground. So he's having this intense kind of psychosomatic episode just from looking at this painting.
Right.
And it's such an amazing idea. You can't help but fall in love with it. The idea that you could stare at a painting and you would be it would so impress you, or it would have this
overwhelm you.
It would just overwhelm you, like not only mentally but actually physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, I can say for myself that I've looked at paintings before and felt a little bit emotional, but I certainly have never, you know, become weak-kneed or made out with fish.
I mean, I'm pretty much in the same boat. There have been times when I've encountered art, and it has really, I mean, it's really been a moment where you're blown away, and mm-hmm. you're just staring into it, and those moments really are cemented in your memory.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned like seeing Irving Norman, his work in San Francisco before, and that was a moment. When I got to see some of Salvador Dali's larger pieces when they were in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Some of those were mind-blowing because I'd seen the pieces before but never on that scale. And there's something about seeing art in the museum and seeing it physically
mm-hmm.
that can really mess with you, you know? Likewise, of course, Cyclorama here in Atlanta. When you first when you walk into Cyclorama.
That's a joke, by the way. yeah, it's a Civil War painting.
And diorama, it's both.
And
it's a circular painting.
Uh-huh.
So it has no end. It's infinity.
Yes. it is a painting and it is a diorama.
Yeah.
I will say that much. But you know, we talked about your brain on art before, and we talked about metaphor, mm-hmm. and we talked about why brain messes with your brain. Art messes with your brain so much because we are seeing these metaphors in action, and they're encouraging us to see the world in a new way. And all of a sudden you have unrelated objects directly compared, and that somehow gives birth to a new idea or a feeling. And someone who was a master at this was Picasso. You know, he portrayed the bombing of Guernica, for mm-hmm. example, with the imagery of a bull, a horse, and a light bulb, and it's all in black and white and gray. And somehow you look at this painting and you really feel like the desperation, you feel the sort of stakes that these people were dealing with at
yeah.
that time, and the tragedy of war.
Right. And certainly there's not all art, but a lot of art deals with pretty weighty subject matter. You know, the state of humanity, war, death, love, sex, you know, and then you stare into a piece that captures these emotions well,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes even in a subversive fashion, you know, it's going to have an effect on you.
Right. And actually, V.S. Ramachandran, we talked about it again in that podcast, mm-hmm. he talked about cubism, and he talked about why it does what it does to us. You know, it kind of decenters us. It's because the fusiform gyrus in our brain, there are cells in the fusiform gyrus that only respond to certain views of a face. And then there are so-called master face cells
mm-hmm.
that respond to all views of a face. And normally you only have one view of the face that would be presented at a time. And we're used to that sort of perspective, right?
Right.
But in a cubist painting, for example, you have the presence of multiple views, and that causes multiple single views to be shooting off in your brain. So you have all this firing going on. You're hyperactivating the master face cells
mm-hmm.
In the fusiform gyrus, and you're exciting the limbic system. So they're definitely, I mean, it's not just that something is beautiful or grotesque to such a degree that you're taken by. I mean, your brain is actually firing as it's looking at this image. And so it would make sense that it's not just Stendhal that who would have this, this sort of episodic experience, but other tourists actually.
And other tourists do experience this. I mean, that's the
yeah.
thing. It's like Stendhal syndrome is not just this interesting story from one author's life, but it happens time and time again.
Right.
And it leads some scientists to ask what's up with this. Now,
yeah.
not a lot of scientists. And that's one thing that's important to note here, because ultimately Stendhal syndrome is not a public menace.
no.
To whatever extent it is actually a thing, it's just people are overwhelmed by art.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of the more intense alleged cases of Stendhal syndrome, the worst is that it might make them a little violent and maybe prone to attack a painting or try and kiss
right.
it.
Right, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. yeah. Nobody's crying to government and saying, we
no.
need more funding to find out what Stendhal syndrome is about.
Right, right. I'm sure that when you land in Florence, Italy, that, you know,
you're not getting pamphlets
about, hey, you're going to swoon in front of a painting. It's perfectly normal. But there is a psychiatrist named Graziella Macrini, and she started to see a correlation between this disorder with tourists that were coming through the emergency room doors where mm-hmm. she worked. And she was like, why is it after the viewing of artwork that these people are collapsing? So over a 10-year period from 1977 to 1986, she studied this, and she documented more than 100 cases of Stendhal syndrome. Mm-hmm. And what she says is that when you encounter the cultural riches of a famous Italian city, you know, like Florence, and you're looking at Michelangelo's David, that statue, which is, you know, so iconic, and you are tired and you're hot, some tourists could actually experience giddiness, confusion, breathlessness, panic attacks, and then faint to the floor.
Okay.
Right. These effects can last for minutes to days.
And what I find most telling about that summary there is that it takes in more than just looking at the artwork. It's not just because, like, to take a piece that I've always found really impressive, Rembrandt's Philosopher in Meditation, not Philosopher in Medication, that's a different piece altogether, but Rembrandt's Philosopher in Meditation is a very, like, I look at it, it's just one of these pieces that sucks you in. I mean, it's a masterwork with the spiral staircase and this gloomy individual looking out at you. If I were to look at that without having any preconceived notion, I might say, hey, that's a pretty cool painting, and it, you know, and I'm having certain experiences staring into it. But feeling this way about the painting, which I've never seen in real life,
mm-hmm.
if I were to go to a museum and see this actual work on the wall, I would be bringing these expectations with me. I would be bringing my past reverence for the work with me to the painting. And I would be traveling to whatever city that is. I would be dealing with the public transportation. I would be dealing with the weird food. I would be dealing with, you know, with all the issues that go into travel and exploring
language.
And trying new things, language.
Mm-hmm.
So all that would be coming with me as well to inform my experience of the painting in person.
Well, and you and I have talked about this before in terms of memory mm-hmm. and place.
Right.
Like, you know, your example to me before has been like you visit a new city, you get off the subway, and you emerge from the depths of the station, and you don't know where you are.
Right.
And your hippocampus is like, yeah. Whoa, trying to map this out.
Yeah, because the rat-like hindbrain is kicking in and saying, where are we? Where are the saber-toothed tigers?
Right.
And am I about to be eaten? So, I mean, it's like a survival instinct kicks in because you don't know exactly where you are in the spatial world.
Yeah. Okay, so imagine that, right? Your hippocampus is already overtaxed.
Mm-hmm. And there's new stimuli all around you. And, of course, we need new stimuli to focus. But when you go to a foreign city, especially a drastically foreign city,
mm-hmm.
like when I think back to when my wife and I went to Thailand, like everything was different. Everything was new. We'd never traveled in East Asia before, and it was intense because it's like everything from the language to the temperature to the intensity of the food. You know, it's like it's all amazing and different, and your brain spends all this energy just computing it. You know?
Right. And so imagine that. Like imagine if you turn around and you look at this incredibly moving piece of art
mm-hmm.
and your hippocampus is already taxed, and now it's not only just dealing with spatial awareness, but memory, past memories,
mm-hmm.
you know, because your amygdala is also working up some emotions here, right?
Right.
So all of these things could come sort of whooshing in. So you can imagine how Stendhal syndrome works in these, you know, I hate to say it, this sort of perfect storm or cocktail of a situation, that would lend itself to this, overreaction to a piece of work. Consequently, too, it is Caravaggio's painting of Bacchus and the concentric circles of the Duomo cupola, as well as the statue of David, that seemed to be the breaking point in these documented cases of Stendhal syndrome.
And I mean, David especially is such an iconic piece.
Yeah.
And I think you're bringing in all these expectations, and then you're seeing it for real. And I mean, you can see how a physical reaction might be possible, especially if you've been walking around all day. And dealing with an entirely new environment.
Well, and sculpture is such an interesting thing too, because the thing, when I look at sculpture, I'm always amazed at the amount of detail that someone mm-hmm. has wrung out of a rock. you know, a piece of rock here. And, you know, the details of veins in someone's arm. And then to see that on the scale that David is, I don't know the exact stats, but it seems like it's 40 feet high when you look at it.
Yeah.
And
to see, and to know the age of a piece too.
Yeah.
Like even if a piece isn't that old, you know, it's interesting to think the hands that made this are long gone. And,
yeah.
And this has been around for, you know, people have lived and died in the course of this painting's lifetime. Or this sculpture's lifetime, and you think of in the older pieces, you think of like regimes that have risen and fallen, you know, countries that have vanished from the earth in the life cycle of this piece.
Well, and to imagine the humanity expressed in this piece that was conceived of by this human.
Mm-hmm.
Is just, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, okay, there you go. That's the Stendhal syndrome. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, we are going to talk about Japanese tourists in Paris.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. We're going to discuss some similar syndromes that I think ultimately illuminate the same thing as Stendhal. These, as you say, Voyager syndromes.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there's one, this Jerusalem syndrome, that has to do with individuals who've traveled from all over the world to see the holy sites in Jerusalem. And again, you're bringing all this history with you. You're bringing, in many cases, at least a certain degree of religious thought and religious fascination.
Yeah.
I mean, your spirituality is tied up in these locations, and then you're standing there. Like, or one day you're reading about these locations in the Bible, you know, and they're, to a certain extent, they're unreal, and then you're seeing them in real life. And you know, what effect does that have on somebody? In some cases, apparently, they get a little faint. They overreact a little.
Well, yeah, it's the story crossed with the crush of history, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel maybe like I get something similar when I'm in New York. The few times I've actually been to New York City, you know, this is an unreal city to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
For most of my life, I had never seen it. And I'd only seen it in movies, and I'd read about it in books, and it seemed like it's like this story, to a certain extent, kind of a storybook land. You know,
mm-hmm.
you imagine it, you see it in fiction, and then you're there, and then you have to sort of process your presence in something that was previously imaginary.
Yeah, I know. I can't be in the Bowery without thinking about Bill the Butcher waxing his giant
mustache. Yeah.
Although that was fictional. Gangs of New York. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot, by the way, of expectations that people bring with them when they travel, which is particularly interesting for something called the Paris syndrome.
Yes. And what's great about this is it's kind of the opposite of Jerusalem and Stendhal syndrome. Well, it's not really the opposite. It's kind of the flip side of the same coin.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the dark side. Each year, about a dozen Japanese tourists are treated for Paris syndrome while visiting the City of Lights. Symptoms are acute delusions, hallucinations, dizziness, sweating, and feelings of persecution. Okay. A handful of patients have had to be flown back to their country under medical supervision. And according to Youssef Mahmoudia, a psychologist at the Hotel du Hospital, a third of patients get better immediately. A third suffer relapses, and the rest have psychoses. And some people just never want to travel again. It was first documented in the psychiatric journal Nervier in 2004. And just to give people, an idea of what we're talking about, in 2006, two Japanese women suffering from Paris syndrome believed their hotel room was being bugged, and there was a plot against them. Previous cases include a man convinced he was the French Sun King, Louis XIV, and a woman who believed she was being attacked with microwaves. So, that's a little stressful. It's sort of obvious why this might happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've never been to France, but I like a lot of people like a number of French things. I mean, the history is fabulous. Some of my favorite authors are French. Alain Robbe Grillet, for instance, Frenchman. There's some great DJs, and again, the food is above reproach. But France does have kind of a reputation, or has in the past. I think mm-hmm. they've made efforts to fix it in recent years, but it has kind of a reputation of being kind of snotty to tourists at times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think that the French have gotten a bad rap for their attitudes toward tourists, because I think on the whole, it's not that bad. I mean, I have been yelled at before, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I have had to apologize profusely for being a vegetarian and committing several phrases of apology to memory in French. But if you're a sensitive soul, you can see, and not only just sensitive soul, but if you're someone who comes from a culture that is distinctly different, mm-hmm. where customer is always king, where, it's a rigidly formal culture that is very concerned with manners. And on top of that, you have this romanticized version of the city that you're about to visit. All those things come tumbling down when reality, the rubber of reality hits the road.
Yeah.
You might feel exceedingly overwhelmed. You might start to think that someone's plotting against you.
Right. The streets of Tokyo and the streets of Paris, each of those definitely brings very different ideas and feelings to mind. You know, and so if you're magically traveling from one to the other, it's going to be quite a shock.
Well, and language barrier too, right? Like, I mean, I think that it's probably easier if you speak English and you go to France, and because most people are going to have, you know, at least some phrases of English that they know,
right?
But not necessarily Japanese, right? That's going to be a little bit more obscure for someone who lives in France. So yeah, that's a lot to contend with,
yeah.
Especially if you have this idealized notion that France is just like one big black and white picture. You know, I'm thinking of like François Truffaut's Breathless, or even what was the Amélie?
Yeah, Amélie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
That is your only exposure to Paris, and you're probably going to think that someone's going to present you with a baguette.
And some beautiful smiling brunette's going to come up to you and
help you across the street.
Help you across the street, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll go on magical little scavenger hunts around the city, but it's not quite that way.
Yeah.
And it's also important to note in all of this, with all these syndromes, that if you are traveling and you have pre-existing psychological conditions, even if it's something mild, there's nothing like the stresses of travel to aggravate those conditions.
Especially with Jerusalem syndrome.
Yeah.
Because in those cases, the hallucinations can be quite intense, from what I understand. But here's another syndrome, and we were kind of laughing about this earlier. We don't necessarily take this one too terribly serious. Rubens syndrome.
Yes, this is a name for Peter Paul Rubens, another one of the old masters, and he's known for such works as there's the Three Graces, 1635, and this is like three voluptuous nudes sort of dancing in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
The Judgment of Paris, which also is pretty nude. The Fall of Man. Adam and Eve, reasonably nude, and the Elevation of the Cross. It's Jesus, so it's partial nudity.
Okay, so you're getting the theme here.
Yeah, there's a lot of flesh in Peter Paul Rubens' work, and it's presented magnificently. I mean, he's one of the old masters. He knew his craft, and so you're drawn into the sheer artistry of the work. But then there are also naked people in it.
Right, there's a lot of carnal stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
A study by the Roman Institute of Psychology found that 20% of Italians have embarked on an erotic adventure in a museum. And this is why they call it the Rubens syndrome, because many times it's said that sensuous nudes are the reason for people feeling amorous toward one another and embarking on these little trysts. But then we were laughing because we were like, it's 20% of Italians.
Yeah.
I just think that maybe it's an Italian thing.
Well, it's a city, you know, you go to, like, Rome's kind of a city of love, right? Or catcalls anyway. So it makes sense that people might find place in a, you know, in a museum for that kind of expression.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
But I do think it's this idea of being seduced by culture is very interesting, mm-hmm. right? Sort of being brought in by that. Roman psychologist Willy Pacini has said that art has always activated an intensely erotic mechanism. Otherwise, what sort of art would it be? The study has found that museums rank higher than nightclubs, which 18% of respondents reported encounters, and are surpassed only by trains and beaches, beaches at 43%.
For places that people were actually engaging in.
Mm-hmm. That apparently are, and I'm assuming that this is something that just is not premeditated, right? That in their study, this right. was just erotic tryst happening on the fly.
Well, I have to say, it makes sense that museums would outrank nightclubs, because at nightclubs, more or less, there's going to be kind of a sex patrol to make sure that nobody is doing it in the bathrooms or in the corners. Like, that's going to be a little more on people's radar. Don't let the patrons have sex in the corners or under the tables. At the museum, it's I would imagine it's lower on the priorities. I mean, they wouldn't be blind to it, but it's not like, all right, it's 5 a.m. We're getting ready to open for business. Who has sex patrol today? Who's going to be checking the corners? Make sure you look behind
petition.
The petition, because that's a favorite spot. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
But I think it does come back to the whole idea of being seduced by culture, and certainly there are plenty of works of art that have an erotic air to them, and as much as we like to think sometimes that even if we're looking at a nude sculpture, we may want to think in terms of, oh, I'm just having a purely artistic experience with this piece. Mm-hmm. There is often an erotic element there too. I mean, it's kind of undeniable. I kind of end up, like, when I'm looking at a piece that has nudity in it, I kind of have to sort of go back and forth where I'm like, oh, this is really good. And then the voice says, you don't like it just because it's naked people, do you? And I have to say, no, I don't. I think this is, and it's sort of this internal argument over the merits of the art and the nudity.
That, by the way, you're actually talking out loud.
Oh, yeah, darn it.
I wanted to tell you that the other day when we were at the museum. But it was just kind of funny.
That's when the children were looking at me weird.
Exactly. So what happens when humans attack art, when we have the opposite, or maybe not even the opposite, maybe a related reaction?
Okay, the classic example of this would be all the people who've tried to do things to the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
They're throwing paint at her, or acid, or... Well, there seemed like there was an even more ridiculous example, right?
Well, there was a Russian woman who bought a mug, this is the thought, at the gift shop, and then returned to the Mona Lisa and threw it. And of course it smashed against the bulletproof glass, and she was, spirited away. But the museum security, they immediately wondered if this was Stendhal's syndrome. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't necessarily think this was someone who was actually trying to destroy the painting, but was having a very passionate reaction to the artwork.
It's interesting, because you think of people who want to deface a famous work of art, and you try and wrap your head around it, and I imagine a lot of it comes down to, this is something that is and to a certain extent, it's immortal, you know, at least culturally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly the culture is not immortal, but this peace within culture is very long-lived. And if we are to, if we hurt this thing, if we put our mark on it, then to some extent we are immortal, or at the very least we're envious of its immortality and we're able to, bust it down a little.
Well, and also you're immediately connected to it forever, right?
Right.
Which is, I guess, you know, from a fame point of view.
Yeah. Kind of like the people, you know, they're always the people who want to touch the painting.
Yeah.
Or at least they get way too close to it, and if you're lucky, there'll be a guard there to tell them not to. But certainly children want to touch paintings, and I feel like maybe even though we inevitably grow out of that and we learn that, no, you do not touch the paintings at a museum, there's still that little kid in us that wants to touch it, and by touching it, become a part of it.
Well, on a related note, too, if you've ever seen a nude bronze sculpture of a woman, you should take a look at the breast area because it doesn't quite have the same patina as the rest of the body. You can see that people have been groping her. But yeah, I mean, we want to connect with it.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a 32-year-old woman in 2008 who so desperately wanted to connect with a painting by American artist Cy Twombly that she wore, you know, a bunch of the red lipstick and actually kissed the canvas.
Oh.
And so there's, you know, the big kissy mark on this painting that I'm assuming that she ruined to some degree, unless they could fix that. But this was in Avignon, and there was a big, large red smudge, and she was sentenced to community work for her transgression.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but this, you know, there are a bunch of other examples of people attacking sculptures with a hammer, like a mild-mannered, you know, math professor who was reportedly like this great family man who just one day showed up at the Louvre and
with a hammer.
With a hammer.
Like, that he did not buy in the gift shop, I'm assuming.
No.
Yeah.
No, premeditated for sure.
Well, I mean, the bottom line, art, it when it's great, it messes with you, and who knows what's going to happen, right? But
that's right.
That's one of the reasons we love art. I mean, and again, it's why the idea of Stendhal syndrome is so... We really want it to happen to us almost, because you want to be that moved by art. You know, the idea that it completely overwhelms you, even physically, is something romantic about that.
You do. But mostly you want to be overwhelmed and then compartmentalize it and then go have a nice glass of wine.
Exactly.
You know, and enjoy your
nice
vacation.
Overpriced glass of wine at the museum cafe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's call over the robot and see what Arnie has for us today. All right, here's one from a listener by the name of Mike. Mike writes to me and says, "Dear Robert, Julie, and producer, I want to say..."
That's
Jerry.
Matt, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, he says he
Matt
wants to
Harder.
Say Jerry, but I'm not completely sure. It's not Jerry, not right now. It's Matt. Matt does a fabulous job.
Yes, and he is also of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Yes, yeah, Matt, that's the same Matt. So
and coolest stuff on the planet, right? There's some sort of mewling sound, so I think that means yes.
Okay.
The multi-talented Matt.
So Mike writes in to all of us and says, "Hello from NEPA." That's northeastern Pennsylvania. Or did they say NEPA? I don't know. This is new to me. N-E-P-A?
I'll go with it.
Yeah. I've been listening to your awesome podcast for about a year now, and I have listened to them all on my long drive to and from work. Your podcast on Tidally Locked Worlds has finally given me a reason to write in. I immediately thought of the game Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2, both of which feature Tidally Locked Worlds. And Mike, it's good that we mentioned Matt, because I know Matt is a fan of these games. Some of these worlds are viewable through space, but the game allows you to land on a few of the planets. The hallmark of these worlds in this game is the Twilight Band, a small portion of the world that is habitable, which I believe you mentioned on the podcast. And we did. The game doesn't get very detailed into the exact weather conditions, but they do seem to follow the trends of a scorched and blasted wasteland that faces the sun, and an icy, desolate wasteland that never sees the sun, and that band of sometimes livable area in between the zones. Some of the planets described have an oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere, while others have things like xenon as their atmosphere. A few even describe some gale-force winds that are created from the hot-side-cold-side difference. I'll send you some links that include some descriptions of the game. Anyway, don't know if this is listener mail-worthy for your robot Arnie to bring to you, but at least you'll be aware and have another fan of the show. Cheers, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, and you have been vetted by Arnie. He chose you.
Yeah, he did. And we had somebody else on Facebook who mentioned that there was a world on Futurama that was tidally locked, which totally makes sense. For the life of me, I can't remember which one it was now, but But there are a lot of cool sci-fi ideas inevitably end up in Futurama because
they're
pulling from all those different sources.
I saw an episode the other week, and they were going to a farmer's market, and they were cloaca fresh eggs.
That's where I knew I had used cloaca fresh at some point in a conversation, and I was wondering where I picked it up from. But there you go.
Yeah.
It was probably Zoidberg.
I just caught it, and I was like, oh, God, I love that.
All right. Well, if you guys would like to interact with us, if you would like to share some art with us even, throw it on the Facebook board. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on Facebook. You can find out what we're working on, what we've just recorded, what's publishing, and again, share great ideas with us. You can also find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind, one word.
And we'd also love to hear about your reactions to art. I know that we have a listener, Shanti, who talked about a painting by Goya that really moved her. And that was a great email to get, very interesting. So if you have, if you've become, you know, wobbly-kneed in front of a work of art, let us know. Or if you just want to drop us a line, you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join House Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.